gonna serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Aren't you glad you are? Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'm gonna serve him till I die. You're on the battlefield tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on this holiday celebrated around all over America? Be a lot of firecrackers shot tonight. Be a lot of money thrown up and smoke. But that's their business, isn't it? Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be here? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Play a little bit more of it, if you will, people. All you people up here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Go ahead and fellowship a little bit. It won't hurt you. My friends and kindred, I'm for the promised land. Oh, yes. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand. Thank you, Lord. And this good land's out to rock, crying sinner, come to God and join us.
Thank
on
you, Lord.
The battle.
Praise tonight if you love him.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we're fighting a battle, and it's a battle that we've already won. Aren't you glad you know you're a winner? Praise the Lord. We read the back of the book. I wonder if the devil knows what's in the back of the book for him. He fights like a champion, but he is a defeated foe. We are the winners out of all of this. I'm so glad to be on the winning team. Are you glad to be on the winning team tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. We're going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Mrs. Kathy Moore. Most of you know Kathy and Don Moore. The doctors are running tests to see if she has cancer. Pray for a good report. So let's remember Kathy Moore tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her situation. God is able to let all those results come back with a real good report. We believe that, don't we? Amen. Amen. Brother Joseph Paul from India is requesting prayer for a brother, Emmanuel. He is 22 years old and is in very serious condition due to a sickness called Dengue fever. He is being treated and is on a ventilator. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Jackie Tipton sends this in to please remember my brother-in-law in prayer. His name is Randy Radford. He is currently battling cancer and cirrhosis of the liver. He is a Christian and is at peace with God concerning his prognosis. He is seeking God's perfect will for himself and his family during this time. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of their situation. Sister Ruth Louise Jacks called to request prayer for her and her family. They are being attacked in several areas in their lives and need God's strength and wisdom during this time. Well, we just commit that to the Lord. God's able to lead them in the exact way they need to go. We believe that tonight. Brother Baker wants us to remember Sister Christine Baker in prayer, suffering from a stomach virus and a very severe pain in her left arm. Also, Brother Baker has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Want to pray for Sister Teresa Short. She's down in her back. Also, her sister-in-law, Dempsey Ketch's mother, was on life support. Pray for that family. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful. Also, Brother Keith Phillips has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for the saints of God to pray about tonight. So remember that all those that are traveling in different places on the highways, that God will give them traveling mercy. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know God's able to meet every need tonight? You believe that with all your heart? Brother Fred Perry, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. As we stand, let's just commit all these things unto the Lord as Brother Fred leads us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen, buddy. We love you, Brother Fred. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we approach you one more time, Lord, we're seeking for our souls, Lord, that great love that binds us, Lord. And Father, as we come before you, we've got so many prayer requests, Lord, to bring before your throne, Lord. And Lord, it may not be me, may not be my family in these times and situations, Lord, but you see each and every one. So you reach out your hand, Lord, and touch them. Father, I want to remember some of the soldiers around the world today that have battles that when they hear these big booms go off. And my son is one, and as he enter war, Lord, they have such a hard time when they come back. All the families, Lord, sometimes we celebrate and we don't realize there's other people suffering at the time that we're celebrating. So, Father, as we come to you tonight, let us lift our hands to you, Lord, and surrender. I brought my rock to put in my pocket, Lord, and if I would slack up, Lord, to remind me that I don't want a rock to cry out in my place, Lord, but I want to cry out to you, Lord, and worship you and bring honor to your name. Because one day a soldier will come home to heaven. Oh, the splendor that'll be. We could maybe sit in your hand and look across the galaxy and see every world and maybe be able to put life on everyone. Oh, that would be so wonderful. But when that rugged soldier of the cross reaches heaven and he's able to embrace the bosom of his God. Oh, Father, that's what I long for. When my battle, when all of our battles are over and we're able, God, to reach that throne and embrace you, that will be meaningful and everything to a soldier of the cross of Christ. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us. We're just feeble. We're just drops of dust in a bucket, Lord. And we might find ourselves being under the bucket, but at least when you pick it up, Father, you'll see us. Touch us, Lord. Help us tonight. Bring forth your word, Lord, to feed us that in this dark generation that a flower can bloom and represent you in this dark, petrified, pukey world, Lord, that we have to live in. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. Be with us. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Well, you know, we're sitting in this building tonight over here on the side of this hill, and there's a lot more people that know about you than you do them. I'm telling you the truth. The services are streamed, and people from different states and different countries, they know a lot more about you than you do them. I'm glad we're a lighthouse. I'm glad we're a place that people love to stream, people love to be a part of, even though they can't be here. I'm glad they like to be a part of our services. Are you glad about that tonight? Are you glad you're projecting that kind of a spirit that it draws saints of God to want to watch and hear the word of the Lord? Aren't you glad for a faithful pastor? A man of truth. A man of truth. Amen. Let's sing about that old lighthouse tonight. We're a lighthouse sitting on. We're not the only ones, but aren't you glad you're part of the picture? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light.
The light that shines in the dark.
those around us. They want to tear this message lighthouse down. They say the big ships don't preach that old-fashioned way anymore. There's no use in it standing around.
I like this part right here.
My mind goes back to my stormy life. When just in time. I saw this evening light, the light from that old lighthouse.
Sing it to
today
him.
It still leads me home to him.
Oh, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin
the Lord. Well, Brother David, you're going to come on the platform and be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing a little chorus as he gets ready to come. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Get out of the way. We got a race to run, don't we? Let's sing a little bit of that as Brother David gets ready to sing for us tonight. Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finish line. We're gonna see God's face. Now if you can't help me, please don't stop me.
At the finish line.
Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. We got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finish line, we're gonna see God's face.
Praise if you love him tonight. Amen. Well, we appreciate Brother David Swanson, don't we? He's a tremendous singer. Do you believe that tonight? Give him a nice hand as you're seated tonight.
Try a new song. Look for me at Jesus' feet. If I leave this world of sorrow sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven, and we'll talk the ages through. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ, my Savior, for saving a wretch like me. Don't look neath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for my precious Lord to see. There I'll be through the countless ages. Oh, look for me at Jesus' feet. But if you should reach that city before my time has come, perhaps you'd like to greet me when my race down here is run. Just wait, or I'll soon be coming across life's ebbing sea, and I'll tell Lord to see. There I'll be through the countless ages. Oh, look for me at Jesus' feet. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for my precious Lord to see.
I won't be satisfied until His beauty I behold. I won't be satisfied until I walk down the streets of gold. The mansions bright, the gates of pearl will soon swing open wide. But until I see my Savior's face, I won't be satisfied. No, I won't be satisfied until His beauty I behold. I won't be satisfied until I walk down those streets of gold. The mansions bright,
yes, Lord,
the gates of pearl,
hallelujah,
will soon swing open wide. But until I see,
thank you, Lord,
His
Jesus
precious face, I won't be satisfied.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many feels that way tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. What we have held in our hearts is faith, the unseen, the invisible, something that we've never actually even reached and touched. What will it be when it'll materialize before us? It'll be beyond what your dreams, your hopes, your wishes of everything you could ever think in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Happy 4th of July. Amen. How many come for the fireworks tonight?
Amen.
Good. That's good. Because believe me, we're going to have some. That's good. Yeah, Freedom Hall ain't got nothing compared to what we have around here on fireworks night. We have ours all the time, though. We don't have to wait until 4th of July, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, verse 23. Let's look again tonight of the great mystery of the church, Church of the Living God. I'm so glad we're part of that by God's grace. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You tonight for that great love. We so appreciate You loving us with such a great, powerful love like this. Thank You, Father, for not only loving us this way, but giving us the ability to love others with the same kind of love. For we know the love of God did not stop with just You, but the love of God has continued on since the atonement has been paid. Lord Jesus, since Your great success on Calvary, it has released the true divine power of love in the hearts of every person who's truly born again. We are so thankful tonight, Lord. Help us as we look into Your word that we might be better people when we leave this place. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, let's read this again. I've been looking at it for a couple of services, but speaking to the women, of course, and their submission to their husbands, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Now we know that God looks at value. God looks at character. God does not count his crowd. He weighs them. God does not even look at numbers to see how many is on his side. Because for the most part, since the fall, he's always been in the minority. But you and God are the majority. So it really depends on how you add it up. Notice this in verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, you believe with me tonight that not only is the work of salvation something that is just on the inside of the heart, but it is also expressing itself on the outside, by the way we live, by the way we talk, even as Laodiceans don't want to hear it, by the way that we dress, and by the way that we present ourselves, our conduct and our character. Let's read, if you would, now tonight in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now remember, it was in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God did this and God did that, until he went to dealing with man. Then he moves into the position of Lord God. Then it is the office of God that Satan tries to bring back up to Eve and said, yea, hath God said. But whenever God goes to redeeming Adam and Eve, he does not do it under the auspices of the name of Adonai, Jehovah, but he does it under the compound revelation of Lord God. So here it was the Lord God that made coats. So here we find the first human beings now after the fall, and they of course were in the Garden of Eden, that they didn't have any need of clothes because they was in the dispensation of innocence. So they could look right at each other and they did not see as we see today. So when God actually found them in this state, God was going to make clothes for them. So the way that God made them and what God made tells us a lot about the way God looks at redemption, redeemed, and the Redeemer. So God is now going to put something on their bodies. Now God, you believe, would know what to put on them, would he not? Would God, finding them now in this state, after Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, well, I was naked and I hid myself because I was naked. He says, of course, who told you that you was naked? Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree which I told you? And he said, well, the woman that you gave me, you remember the story. So now God is going to act according to the confession of what his son has said. Now God isn't just doing this at random, or, you know, God, some thought hits his mind and then later he'll say, you know what, I probably shouldn't have done it that way. I probably should have done it this other way. But God already knew that this time is going to be here. So whatever God does and the type of clothes that God makes is going to reflect his answer in dealing with man in the act of redemption. So notice what Moses says now. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now this word coat, it is the Hebrew word, I can't pronounce it, but it is the word tunic or an undergarment, a long shirt-like garment, usually of linen. So God now kills a lamb, at least one, if not more. God kills a lamb, and he had to have enough skin in order to make both Adam and Eve a garment. Now, we know enough about God to know that God would have never put a miniskirt on his daughter and clothed her in a miniskirt.
Because it was her ability that Satan had enlightened her to, with her shape, her form, and so on, that had enlightened her to be able to seduce her husband. Because he did not have knowledge of looking at her in this way. So it would have been unbecoming to the wisdom and the justice of God to be able to design and put a garment on her which would have further enhanced this shape and form that would have caused this son to do the same thing again that he had done before. So God would have made a garment which would have spoken in the opposite of what Satan had done. You follow me so far? So God did not make a mini dress and put on her and a mini dress and put on Adam. Now, the Bible does not go into great detail as far as what the garment was, other than the Hebrew word which was used for many, many thousands of years, and that was a tunic. Now, how long it was, how wide it was, we really don't know. But we know that God, in answer to what their conscience was crying for, remember, it was not only their body that needed to be covered, but Adam's conscience also needed an answer from God. And there must be a reprimand to himself saying that I was naked. So it wasn't just his body, but it was his conscience also as well. Now, if God would have given him, if God would have come over there and he'd have killed a lamb, and God would have put out a little piece of skin, and God would have went something like that and give Eve one about the same size, it would have not covered their body, nor would it have answered in an answer of innocence toward their conscience either. Now, their conscience has now been opened, so their body must not just be covered somewhat to make them feel better, but it must be something that will answer to their conscience to where they can walk out before God and at least in this part no longer feel that they are open and naked. And whatever God gave them apparently answered not only to the proper covering of the body, but it also answered to the conscience, in so much that God threw it in behind the bush to them, the prophet said, and told them to walk out. So God's cloth, God's shirt, God's tunic that he gave to both of them answered to them, and they're both of them was able to walk out, and you don't find them mentioning that again. So God answered their excuse. Well, I can't go. I can't do it because I don't feel right. I don't feel naked. But whatever God gave them, it was, you follow me, it was an answer to where they could not any longer say, well, I'm naked and I'm ashamed. I've got to throw a little handkerchief back there. They could have said the same thing. I still feel awful. I mean, this ain't enough. This is not right. So God took care of that. Right. Now, you know, if God, that was so important to God then it makes no sense to me. Now, maybe to you it does, but it makes no sense to me then that God, after the fall, would have clothed them in the right amount of clothes and the proper amount of clothes, and it would have covered the necessary parts of their body to where it would not lead to further enticement, not only for themselves, but for others that would see them. Now, these are the first human beings, of course, that are wearing clothes, and then their children and their children and their children. Now, remember when you're reading the book of Genesis that it does not give to us all the sons and daughters that were born to Adam and Eve. There were three major ones that was given, and of course that was Cain and Abel and Seth, but Adam and Eve had lots of more sons and lots of more daughters. As a matter of fact, Cain married his half-sister. Is that right? But yet there was only three of them that was mentioned up till after the time they go out of the Garden of Eden, of course, and then we come to the Seth line. But there was many, many, many sons and daughters of God. So no doubt they took the pattern of their clothes after what they saw their mother and father dressing after God had put them out of the Garden of Eden. Now God knew that human beings would be impressed upon by what they saw. So God would not have started out with something on the woman, you know, that had been way up here, because he pretty well knew every generation, the next one would get shorter. And if God made the first one where it was decent, then the next generation would be shorter and tighter and shorter and tighter. Before long, it looked like they're wearing a rubber band. So God knew that. So God wanted to put the first impression on them was with clothes would have been something that would have been decent. It would have been something that they could have walked out into the presence of God and God not condemned them. Because now if God gave them something and then God would have turned around and condemned them for what they wore out, it would have been unjust of God. So the justice of God would have been met in the slain innocency of the lamb, also the proper type of clothes that they wore out. Well, praise God. I'll tell you one thing, friends, folks that don't understand the importance of clothes in a Christian, they're blind. That's all you can say. It starts in the book of Genesis and goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. So clothes, as we can see then, have a status symbol. Clothes has a status symbol. Not only the length, but the shape and many, many things about those clothes. Even in the Old Testament, it was the color and even the border of how it was made, a fringe or a riband as they call it. Everything that God looked at had value. So we know that God, coming from the Old Testament to the New, that God still has a standard of holiness, and the church said amen. Watch this in Leviticus chapter 8 verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon them the coat. Now this is a very similar thing to what God had clothed Adam and Eve with in the beginning. The coat, and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with a robe. Now notice, this is multi-aspect. It's multi-layer. Now the high priest, you remember reading of course in the Old Testament, that whenever the high priest would go into the presence of God, they were not allowed in the Old Testament to be able to have steps going up to the high place or the place where they offer the sacrifice. Lest whenever Aaron or his sons would have parted their legs like this, the nakedness of their legs would show under the robe. So it had to be all of one level. And even at that, God demanded that there would be what he called linen breeches, B-R-E-E-C-H-E-S, linen breeches, which was to be worn by the priest. So even when they parted their legs like this, that their legs was covered, because God was not interested in seeing the nakedness of their legs. Now y'all think God got saved in the New Testament and now he wants everybody just to do whatever they want to do? God would never lost. It was us. Now that's how picky, of course, that God actually is. So watch this now, that whenever we're looking at this particular arrangement of clothes, it is a status symbol. So if you would see a person dressed like this, you would know exactly who they are. So he put the ephod upon him and girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him and he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. Now remember, this of course is the high priest. This is not the regular priest, nor is this the regular Levites, nor is it the Gershims or some of the others that was helpers around the tabernacle. But this is a particular list of garments and this particular order, which is only for one individual, and that is the high priest alone. So clothes then has a status symbol. Whenever you would look and see folks dress in a certain way, it would speak about who they are. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, when John looks into the book of Revelation and he sees a woman there sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, and she's clothed with scarlet and purple and all that, guess what? Clothes, again, have a status symbol. But whenever John looks and he sees the bride, the Lamb's wife, and he sees her clothed in fine linen, clean and white, again, her clothes has a status symbol. And that's plumb over into heaven. Well, praise the Lord. So don't get in your mind then that, well, we're beyond the time of clothes, and clothes don't really matter. It mattered in the Garden of Eden. It mattered in the Old Testament. It matters in heaven. It'll matter right here in Laodicea. That's right. Notice then in verse 9, he put the mitre upon his head, and upon the mitre, even the forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. So when you saw this individual, you knew exactly who they were by the way they were dressed. Notice again, David now speaking to the daughters of Israel about King Saul. Saul is now dead, and David, as much as we might find it hard to believe, but David is paying great tribute to this man, which was his father-in-law, which had run him out of the land of Israel, gave his wife to another man, sought him like a wild animal, trying to kill him, done everything that he done, made him an outcast of the people of Israel, from the commonwealth of Israel, dwelt among the Philistines, and yet David still respected the office this man held. And some of you all argue and fuss over those who do you bad, and this man didn't have the Holy Ghost. Notice this, he said, "Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel." Now notice, David is now paying tribute to at least this part of what Saul did, and he describes the clothes that Saul and his kingdom had been able to bring under this monarchy. It actually brought an element of wealth to the children of Israel that they did not have when they was under the scattered tribes. So when they come together under Saul, even though he was not a man after God's own heart, yet God did prosper and give bounty to the kingdom. And by that, it was a status symbol. It was the blessing of God that God had raised the children of Israel to where they were now higher than they were before Saul actually became king. And this was reflected not just by Saul having a bigger house and a bigger barn and more horses and this and that, but it was reflected upon the daughters of God. Should be the same as any ministry. Any ministry that's in touch with God should not only benefit the minister, but it should benefit the body as well. It should make the body be able to be dressed and arrayed in the linen of Christ's word. It should put something upon the body that makes them closer to God. Make them want to serve the Lord Jesus with more of a fervency. Is that right? Amen. Any ministry that doesn't do that to the body is a false prophet. Well, that's just the truth of it. If it's all about them and what you can do for them, forget it. That's right. Notice 1 Chronicles 15:27. "And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Shenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers." Now notice again, these clothes are a status symbol. Now if you know anything about the fine linen, you know that the greatest linen of this time was actually imported from the land of Egypt. It was made out of the flax, which come from right on the Nile River, the certain elements that was in the topsoil as it washed down from the high country, and it imparted that into the flax as it grew, and it grew right along the banks of the Nile. Their linen was sought over in the known world. It was traded. As a matter of fact, at this time frame, on it for many hundreds of years, it was worth more than gold. For a person to be seen in a fine linen garment, it was of great price. So for David to see this, it was a status symbol. Now David is bringing the ark of God. In other words, they're going to church. So David didn't have on his grease clothes. David didn't look like he'd just come out from plowing, and he looked like he was the horse. He didn't smell like a polecat. That's right. David didn't look like he hadn't took a bath in a month, and you know, everybody around him was holding their nose and they wasn't worshiping this, trying to get their breath. They thought they was going to be put under an oxygen tent. That wasn't the way David went to church. So David clothed in a robe of fine linen. Now this word fine, of course, separates it from just regular linen, because it was very coarse linen, and that coarse linen was a lot cheaper. But this was fine linen. So he's going to the house of God. He's bringing the word of God. But David, again, isn't the only one. Notice a true leader now, how that it's not only the reflection of the man himself. He's the one that's so close to God. He's the one that's so holy. He's the one that's rapture ready. Everybody else is slaves under him. Friends, that's a bunch of nonsense. That's right. A real true leader, the God that's in him, wants others to have the same goodness and mercy that he has within himself. That's right. So David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, they are also dressed up. And not only that, but you've got the singers. Now look categorically, you've got David, you've got the Levites, and then you've got singers, and then you've got this other guy called Shananiah, which was the master of song. So you've got different degrees of singers. So everybody was not a master of song. Now this word in the Hebrew, of course, is a prince or a chieftain or one that was above the other. So this particular guy must have been really a talented man. We don't know much really about him, but he must have been a great guy. Now David would, I would imagine, been a pretty hard guy to be able to deal with, because he was a singer, he was a songwriter, he was a musician, and this Shananiah must have been quite a guy, that they would have called him actually the master of song. Isn't that amazing? Some of y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? But he was the master of song. Again, it is a reflection of a godly leader. I like to look at men and the way they preach. I like to look and see how deep they are, so on and so on. But one thing I always look at for a man in his ministry, I like to see the people God puts with him to work with him. I like to see the ones that God puts around him. If he's supposed to be so great and so fantastic, and God don't put real notable people of character around him, there's something wrong. I said there's something wrong. Well, y'all are quiet tonight. Somebody done blowed y'all's M80s away, your firecrackers, or what? Is the heat so your amens? Brother Donnie, it's hot in here. I know it. I'm working harder than you are. Now, watch this. So here's the singers, the Levites, there's David, there's the master of song with singers. Now, all of them wasn't masters, but this guy was a master. And David also had upon him an ephod of linen. So David has on a fine linen robe, a tunic, a shirt type of thing. And then he has on this ephod, fine ephod, that was upon him as well. Notice this again now in Daniel chapter 5, verse 7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing, show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet. Now remember what this is. This is the handwriting that come down on the wall. Everybody's come up. The astrologers coming up. Soothsayers coming up. All the wise people's coming up. And they're going to give the invitation, of course, to another man. Amen. A prophet. Well, I said, I can read that right, and that's my daddy's handwriting. That's the reason these other guys didn't know it. They wouldn't know the same father. Now, notice what the king is going to do to whoever will be able to read this writing. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upheterson. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upheterson. Whoever is able to read this writing, their symbolism is going to be changed in all of the land. Now, this, how is it going to come? Well, not he's not going to get a Cadillac. He's not going to get a bunch of horses. That will come with it. That absolutely will come with it. But because clothes spoke so much in the Bible, that's why that the clothes are mentioned first. Now, would you notice the order of this, how peculiar this is? He shall be clothed with scarlet and shall have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Now, why in the world didn't they mention third ruler in the kingdom first? You mean they would mention clothes? You see, when they see this scarlet garment, that testifies of his status. Because it was so hard to get, the poor people could not attain such garments of such color. You've heard me tell you before of how they had to get by the Amelius Caucasilus. It was a little tiny, tiny drop that would come out of one. They had to have thousands and thousands of those little animals in order to have enough dye to make this type of robe. So in the status symbol, they would put the robe before third ruler. We're talking about the kingdom which had dominated the known world, and you're going to be third ruler, but it puts what kind of clothes you got on first. Well, when John saw the bride dressed in fine linen, clean and white, isn't it amazing that he mentioned that instead of her glorified body first? Isn't it amazing, hey, that he mentioned that before he mentioned her home and all that and the other? Why? Her clothes, oh, glory to God, her clothes testified she's getting all the rest. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice again in verse 16, I have heard of thee. Now Daniel, the word of Daniel, of course, comes before the king. I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold. Well, what in the world? Why would you mention the clothes first? You'd mention that in front of a chain, not a ring. But you're actually going to have a chain of solid gold around your neck. You're going to be third ruler of the kingdom, and you would mention this flimsy robe first? It was not a flimsy robe. It was a status symbol. The prodigal son, when he returned, we looked at it a little bit Sunday, whenever he come back, said, go get the best robe. Why? His status had changed. Glory! Well, the pigs and the bread and all, you know, all the feasting and all that, that's later, but get the right clothes on him first. Praise God. Amen. Now, notice this. After Daniel, of course, is able to interpret this by the help of God in verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and they put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But what come first? The right clothes. So if people don't wear the right clothes, they will not be in the bride. Oh, people, oh, it don't matter. I'm in the kingdom. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. I'm this, that, and the other. You know, they're taking the position of what they think they're in, and they're putting that first and putting clothes come out of the picture. Well, amen. What's this in Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 8? This is a very unusual scripture. And it came to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Strange apparel. Now, I want you to notice God ain't just aiming at the poor and the downcast and the nobodies. He's aiming at the celebrities. All those that are clothed with strange apparel. Now, this, of course, has a couple different applications. One of them was that during this time frame of Zephaniah, when he prophesied that the people were still worshiping idols. And this certain idol, depending upon the fabrication of man, of course, all idols are man-made. And man would come up with this deity, whoever it was, and they would come up with all this concoction of an idea that this deity wanted this, and he wanted to be worshipped this way, and you had to do this and do this. Well, then somebody else would come up with another deity, because all of them was man-made. And they'd come up with another deity. But every one of them, during this time frame, you had to wear certain clothes when you would go to worship this deity. So they would have, now Chemosh was pretty much, it was alive. You know, the worship of Chemosh was still alive during this time frame of Zephaniah. But it was not near as much because the Moabites had backed down and he was the god of the Moabites. But let me set this way so you understand. So the Ammonites and Chemosh and some of the different ones. So if you was going to worship Chemosh, Chemosh would have a certain image, which is a large gigantic head, big old eyes, an open pot in his belly, and then open arms like this. So what they would do, Chemosh, these man-made ideas come up with the idea that Chemosh was the god of fertility. And that Chemosh blessed the people of the crops and the rain and so on and so on. But in order to please Chemosh, you had to give Chemosh, you had to give him live sacrifices. So they would bring their virgin daughters and they would build up a fire in the belly of this idol Chemosh, and they would get it white hot, and then they would lay their virgin daughters, of course, their little bodies over in the arms of that metal. Don't you thank God for the truth? Oh, you say that ain't going on today. No worse is going on today. They give them an iPad and send them in the bedroom by themselves, or they let them listen to any music they want to and watch whatever movies they want to, and you're sending them right to the belly of idols again. Come on now, instead of watching what your children feed on and listen to how it's affecting them, don't blame the people worshiping Chemosh when we're in worse shape than they were. Friends, we've got more idolatry today than it's ever been. Oh, we've waved the flags and we've sung God Bless America today. How can God bless America? But a worshiper coming to worship Chemosh, he would require certain clothes to be able to put on. Well, you say you go from there to another God. And one way that you would know that the children of Israel was actually coming into a compromised state was when you saw them putting on the clothes of the worshipers of Chemosh. So they was putting on strange garments, and they would have the identification of a Chemosh worshiper or a worshiper of another god or goddess, whatever it was. So this was strange clothes because God had said, I want you to dress a certain way. I want you to live a certain way. I want you to eat a certain thing. Don't you understand why God even gave the law to them? Even the dietary laws, and don't eat this, and don't have a garment on that's got mixed garments or mixed material, wool and linen. They could not wear. They couldn't even sow diverse kinds of seed in the same field. God wanted everybody to know these were His people. You knew by looking at them they were different. You knew by the food they ate they were different. You knew by the clothes they wore they were different. Why? They were Jehovah's wife of the Old Testament. What man does not want his wife to be separated and hallowed unto him? Is there any of you men here that wants your wife cooking supper for you tonight and some other man the next night and some other man the next night and some other man the next night? You're warped if you do. You want her staying with you tonight and then staying with some other guy next week and some other guy next week? Of course you don't if you're in your right mind, and she don't want that of you. But what do you want? Well, if you're in your right mind, you want her or him to be consecrated and separated from all others only unto you. She is yours, you are hers, and may I say this, brothers, it's not just one-sided to where that the woman is the one who has to be the head. According to the way Paul taught it in the book of Corinthians, your body don't even belong to you. It belongs to your wife. Oh, yes, I do things that ain't none of her business. You better reread your Bible. You're preaching false doctrine, buddy. Your body don't belong to you. It belongs to your wife. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. I told you the fireworks is going to start early tonight now. Oh, I know a lot of our men in the message don't like to hear it that way. Bless God, she belongs to me. You're only talking half the story. You also belong to her. That's right. So this is the reason God wanted them to be different. Now, God told them to have a riband, R-I-B-B-A-N-D, a riband of blue along the border of their garment. So it would identify them. Now, of course, you come to the priests that have tassels, that have a pomegranate and a bell, and certain colors, and even certain scents of aroma and perfume that God would give them to smell like. All of it was an identification or a status symbol that they were His. Well, praise the Lord. So the heathens then would wear one costume if they was worshiping Chemosh, another if they was worshiping this and that. And the children of Israel, by being around them, started compromising and putting these clothes on them and looking like them. But also, Kimchi, which was a Jewish historian, said that during his lifetime and time frame, that the people were actually wearing clothes. The women were wearing the men's clothes. And the men were wearing the women's clothes. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so the strange apparel was an identification of a status symbol. Hallelujah. Boy, some of y'all know that I was going this way tonight. You'd stay at home and fixed a hot dog, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. Well, you know that things really haven't changed too much since kimchi was here. Except just got worse. Can we preach a little bit? Thank you. What's this now in Satan's Eden? The prophet said she took off the clothes that God dressed her in back in Eden. For her journey through this wilderness, she took them off. She stripped herself down when God had her wrapped all over in skins. So God wrapped the woman's body so that the parts of her body, which would now could appear sensuous, would be veiled behind her clothes. But her designer is still working on her to strip them off. God wrapped her all over in skin. She began to shave a little off each time. Now she's back to where she was at the beginning. But you know what, friends? Now that the Laodiceans are naked, they're wretched, they're miserable. For the most part, the entirety of the world is back to that part again. And they don't know it. But they're not back in the dispensation of innocence when they didn't know they were naked, but they've sinned so far they've crossed away and sinned away their day of grace. And they don't know they're naked and they don't even know anything about it. I mean, they wear, you know, all this stuff even to church. So you can imagine if they wear it to church what they wear at home and everywhere else. Now, notice this, but Brother Branham doesn't stop there with the woman. Now, she has got her Adam to wearing her underneath clothes. A man put on them little old sissy looking shorts. And get out here, I don't think there is much man to him. Uh-oh. So a man wearing shorts, getting out in public, is a status symbol that he's not much of a man. And you know how it is, we're bombarded with it every day. Everywhere we go, you cannot, you know, especially whenever it gets above 50. I mean, some do it when it's 10 below, but when it gets above 50, they come out like a bunch of lizards in the sun. They can't wait to get them short britches out. I was out the other day and I thought, I'm just going to look at this. And as I began to look and watch and I started counting. And I started counting how many women I seen with shorts on and how many men. And I was so surprised to see how many more men had them on than women did. And you know what they are? Sissies. Now watch this. I don't think there's much man to him. He is the biggest sissy I know of. If I didn't know better, I'd think some of you men's guilty of this. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Or is it your short britches it's got? Brother Donnie, didn't you never wear shorts? Oh yeah, I remember one particular time in my life, my mama dressed me in a pair of shorts. I never did like them when I was a kid. But she put me in a pair of shorts and we went over to my Uncle Jim Rubin's house. And my cousin John was down over the hill. They had a horse down there. They didn't tell me that whenever they had moved that horse, that they had relocated the electric fence. So I head over that hill hollering for John and took off a running. Here I am in my cute little short-legged britches. Do I need to tell the rest of the story? I hit that fence going 90 miles to nothing, buddy. Whenever I hit it, the amount of electricity that's through that fence plus the energy that I was exerting, I run into it and pulled it all the way out. It throwed me plumb back. I lay flat on my back. It took I don't know how long for them marks to get off of my purdy legs. Now, God never gave me, as a man, woman legs. My legs are ugly. My knees are naughty. Now, apparently, some men in this age have women legs. They're pretty and sexy, and they think they ought to show them. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I got the right legs when I was born. I'll tell you one thing, y'all wouldn't want to see them, and don't worry, you won't. But Brother Donnie, I know message preachers that wear shorts. I don't care who wears them. I'm not doing it. And I'm going to preach against it. Because the same prophet that preached on the women said this. Now, you men that want to override this, you better come up here and let me cast that thing off of you. You got a rebellious spirit on you. Woo. You understand when a man puts on them shorts and gets out there that he's in a status symbol that he's wearing his wife's underneath clothes. So if you wear the bottom part, you want the top as well. Brother Donnie, you shouldn't say that. Why not? It's just the upper part of what you're reflecting on the bottom. So you want her upper part too, her underclothes? Come on, if you're going to cross, cross big time. Oh Lord, the devil even blessed on that one, didn't he? Brother Bam said he's the biggest sissy I know of. She has got her perverted Adam to act like she, wearing her underneath clothes. But Brother Donnie, my shorts aren't pink. They're camoed. They pertain to a woman's underneath garments. I don't care if they got Hercules wrote all over them. I don't care if they got Thor wrote all over them and the God of Thunder. It still pertains to a woman. Well, I differ with you. Well, you can differ with me all you want to. I'm reading to you from what you say you believe is your message of this day. So do you believe it or not? You want to take your penknife and cut it out? Go right ahead. You'll wind up in tribulation like the rest of the Laodiceans. We get through this series, I'm going to take 3 months vacation and go to the Arctic or somewhere so I can cool off. I don't know what in the world's the matter with me. Now notice, she's seen what she could do out yonder when she took all of her clothes off, but her underneath ones, that's the shorts. Of course, that's the woman's underneath clothes. If I don't get past this page right here tonight, we're going to get her down, brother. Now, brothers, would any of you go to your wife's closet? Brother Harvin, you used to Shirley get ready for church, and I said, Shirley, you mind if I wear one of your dresses? That white dress and that blue, that is so pretty. I wonder how I'd look in that, like a gorilla with a dress on. Not just Brother Harvey, but the rest of us. Can you imagine me coming out the door, flowing out with one of Carol's beautiful dresses? Me swooning and swooping and preaching with a dress on. There's no difference in that in you putting on a woman's clothes, shorts. So, brother, why stop with the shorts? Get her dress. Get her hairpiece. Some of you could use it, looks like. I mean, why not put it up in rollers? Go all the way, you pervert! Jesus, you're going to get me killed one of these days. I'm telling you right now, you better. The shorts, it's the underwoman's underneath clothes. And her Adam is wearing them now, which according to God's original word is an abomination. For a woman to put on a garment that pertains to a man and a man put on a garment that pertains to a woman. From the original word, think of it. Now he wears her bangs also. He combs them down and puts a curler in them. Some of the most sickly sights I've ever seen in my life is some of these kids out here today with their bangs combed down like this and a colored bleached hair, some kind of peroxide, something bleached their hair and roll it in curlers making bangs. You big sissy. That's a horrible thing to say from a pulpit. But judgment begins at the house of God. Praise God, let me have mine now, Lord. I said, let me have mine now. You don't even know whether you're a man or a woman. You mean a man fixing his hair like that and wearing women's clothes makes him where he don't even know if he's a man or a woman? Why? His status symbol is being affected by the clothes he wears, which he thinks has no effect on him. Can't you see? It's a letter of sins, friends. Oh, don't bother me. Don't hurt me. Why? Well, don't no affect me. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Every one of them heading right straight for the tribulation period. Notice this. I understand that our United States Army is coming out next in shorts. That's right. You see what the perversion is? It's a woman's clothes. Yeah. Amen. So get you some pink hose. Big pair of heels. While you're at it, put rouge on and lipstick and all the rest of that stuff. Oh, you say you're going too far, Emma? Don't you understand? You see, you don't see it. That's why you're arguing in your mind. You don't see it. Does it make any difference to God whether you got one on one piece of a woman's garment or you're fully dressed in them? Well, the same with the women. It's a satanic spirit of a great society. They don't know, but their organization. Women with shorts on belongs to an organization. Man dressed like that is on an organization. I'll give you the abbreviation of it. BSS. Big Sister Society. That's what they belong to. Come out of that big sissy. You ought to hear the way he says this. Big sissy society with them little old pants on. Big old naughty looking, dirty looking thing. Amen. 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 I seen a man coming out of Walmart yesterday. Early, bright and early. That's the only time I got enough sanity to go to Walmart. And I come out and there's some old guy about 80 some years old. He could barely walk. Had on a pair of short breeches up here, Brother Dale. I thought, I knew I was going to read this quote, and I thought, buddy, you are the epitome of what I'm going to preach on tomorrow night. His knees was all naughty as all get out. Hadn't been out in the sun in 47 years. He's as chalk white as he could be. And wore them little shorts. I thought, Lord have mercy. God, what in the world is it coming to? Am I going crazy? Man, you may differ with me on this, but that's the truth. You say, I differ with Brother Branham. Well, I'm going to preach what Brother Branham said, not what you said. How many visions have you seen? How many seals has God allowed you to open? How many dead have you raised? How many miracles has God allowed you to have? When you get your protocol of your life up, come talk to me. Until that time, I'll preach what this man said. You have been perverted. Listen to this. And don't know it. That's it. You don't act like a man no more. See, coming so soft. Son, their son be nothing no more to them, men and women too. They're a society. It's an organization. Why? I love the way he places this. John, next door, wore shorts. So why can't I? Luella wanted me to wear them because John wore them. Oh, so Luella was lusting after John's gorilla legs. So she wanted her husband to put on a pair of women's shorts. Don't you see? So who's right in the house? Luella. So Luella thought that he looked good in shorts. So she went out into TJ Maxx and bought him a pair. If Susie Jane can wear them, so can Martha Jane wear them, or Susie Lou, or whatever her name is. It's a society. It's an organization. You spiritually belong to it and don't know it. These message men, message boys, and some of you allowing your boys 15, 16, 17, 18 years old to run around. Look, oh, Brother Donnie, I've got a picture of Brother Brandon with his little boy. And how old was that little boy? What, no 18-year-old man? Do you understand? Message boys that are running around like this. They hate organization, and yet they have the identification of one in their closet by wearing clothes that pertain to a woman. Sweet Jesus. No longer a son of God. Bangs hanging down in his face. Pair of shorts on. Trucking down the street. A son of God. Deacon in a church. Pastor in a pulpit. No, that ain't a son of God. He never come through God's thinking filter. He wouldn't have them women's clothes on. Ooh, he sure wouldn't. Neither would she have the man's clothes on, see? It's not a son of God. It's a son of Satan and a daughter of Satan. Listen to these words now. Hard thing to say. It's hard on me just repeating it. I can't imagine if you're the man who has to say it first. Can I go on? Thank you. First. I like to see a man when he's a man. I hate to see one with his wife's underneath clothes on out here. And slipped up along the side, a roller hanging down in front. Two combs of hair hanging down like bangs cut in front. I couldn't call that a man. This is the way he said it in Thursday night preaching. I couldn't call that a man. The pastor laughing behind him, other people laughing behind him. You don't know what side of the race he belongs on. Why? His hair, the way he combs it, the clothes that he wears changes his status symbol. So he puts on a woman's clothes, he looks like a cross-dresser. She puts on a man's clothes, she's a cross-dresser. She cuts her hair off, he wants his long like a woman. Cross-dressers. And in spite of it all, God's got another symbol on the earth. Fine linen, clean and white, was granted to her. Praise God, she ain't cross-dressing like a man and pulling over here like a beast and got scarlet color on her, this and that and the other. She's dressed in the cloths of the Word of God. She made up, but Brother Donnie, I don't understand all that. I'm not talking about understanding it. I'm talking about doing it because he said so. Friends, listen. What if Brother Branham was right? What if in God's eyes this is right? Where will you be? My brother Donnie, my shorts. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I can make it without them. You can. I'll be 62 in a few days and I've lived a perfectly normal life. As a matter of fact, I like long bridges. I get out and poison ivy and poison oak and sumac and thorns and brambles and briars. I like coverings on my ugly legs. They're not pretty. They're not nice to look at. I got knotty knees. I'm bow-legged. One leg is 3/4 of an inch longer than the other, but they've all I've got. I'm not mentally retarded. Well, some of y'all might debate that. Look, brother, getting rid of your shorts won't cause you to become deformed. Ah! I got rid of my shorts. Ah! It'll cause you to look like a man instead of a pervert and a cross-dresser. Dear Jesus. You see, the woman looked like the woman is trying to cut her hair, make her hair like the man. And the man is trying to make his hair bangs like the woman. The man is wearing his wife's underneath clothes. She is wearing his overalls. See, just a perversion right around. Same thing it is with the nation, with people, with churches, and everything. Oh, God. Where is the end of the thing? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the end of it. Again, he says, look at today, look at man trying to wear his wife's underneath clothes. Friends, he says this over and over again. Amen. She is trying to wear his clothes. Now, it's amazing the way that he parallels this, because he said she's put on his outer clothes, which is pants, and he put on her inner clothes, which is shorts. Status symbol. He is trying to let his hair grow like hers. She's cutting hers off like his. Oh my. Man trying to be like women. Women trying to be like men. A perversion. Again, the results of Satan's eating it. Look, she's trying to cut her hair like her husband. Her husband's letting his hair grow like his wife. She's wearing his clothes. He's wearing her underneath clothes. See, there you are. She's getting masculine. He's getting feminist. It's Satan's Eden, contrary to what God made it at the beginning. That's the truth. Can you endure a few minutes more? Notice the latest in church age book. Take a good look around you. Examine the people as they walk by. In the multitudes you see, can you pick out those that have the appearance of Christians? With many of them, the only way you know if they even profess Christianity is when you check out at Walmart or Walgreen. They look like the rest of them. They act like the rest of them. They're bopping their head to their music and whatever more they're checking out. But the dead giveaway is, have a blessed day. And you know right there, they have an element of profession of Christianity. Yet they look like everybody else that comes and goes. Now friends, I'm not saying this to ridicule. I say it with such sadness in my heart because it's so pitiful. Because the status symbol that they reflect by their clothes shows where they're going. The way they are dressing shows where they're going. They will match their head, the woman setting over in the tribulation period with that colored clothes that is the sign of a prostitute. I don't want none of you to go there. You may get mad at me now. You may get so mad you could grit your teeth. But if I can spare you from that place, you'll hug my neck one of these days. Oh my. Notice this. Can you pick out those that have the appearance of Christians? Watch how they dress. Watch how they act. Hear what they say. See where they go. Surely there ought to be some real evidence of the new birth amongst all of those we see go by. But few there be. Yet today the fundamental churches are telling us they have millions saved and even spirit-filled. Can you call women spirit-filled who go around with frizzy bobbed hair, shorts and slacks, halters and briefs, and painted up like Jezebel? If these are adorned in modest apparel as becometh Christian women, I would hate to think what it would be like if I had to witness a display of immodesty. All I can say is I'm glad Elijah ain't here, because he'd never come out of his cave. Let's stand. See, I let you out where you can still go see the fireworks. I'm going to tell you before you ever go, though, ain't going to be nothing like what you've heard here tonight. But if you go, you'll see exactly what I preached. And if you don't go there, you'll sit tomorrow and the next day and the next day and on and on and on. But for me and my house, as long as I'm the pastor here, and that's up to you how long I stay here. As long as I'm the pastor here, I'm going to preach against foreign clothes. That's right. And we know it doesn't do any good if it's just, as long as it's just the outside. It must be something within our heart. But if it's within our heart, Brother Dale, it'll reflect itself by the status symbol on the outside. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Let me read this scripture to you again there in Zephaniah. I thought that was so wonderful, Brother Terry, whenever I run across that and studying that. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. You imagine, in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. You see, it happened in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. By the time they got back, the children of Israel had so mixed with the Ashdodites and many of the other people that was around of the land, they couldn't even speak Hebrew. They couldn't even speak the original language, which was in the beginning, which is the word language, of course. They couldn't even speak it. So half of their children spoke Ashdod, and part of them spoke Hebrew. They didn't know how to worship. They didn't know what to do because they'd so mingled around them.
That's right.
Their walls had been tore down. They had no standard. So they act like them. They talk like them. They dress like them. They begin to be just like the world.
That's right.
And boy, Nehemiah got among them. Woo. I'll tell you one thing. He started thrashing and carrying on. You think we're the first ones to have a 4th of July barbecue? You need to read the book of Nehemiah. Amen. He started laying it on them, I'm telling you. Oh, I'd like to preach it to you sometime. I was reading it this evening, but what happened there was a revival of the book. Amen. I was reading it there this evening, praise God, whenever Ezra said it. And I remember Nehemiah was more in the political aspect. Ezra was more in the divinity of the word. And whenever they was able to exchange their position back and forth. And the Bible said they built Ezra a pulpit. First time the word pulpit's ever found in the scripture. And they built him a pulpit and he stood up. And whenever he climbed up behind the pulpit to read the word, all of a sudden, all them people stood to their feet. And he began to expound on the scriptures for about 5 to 6 hours. And he'd done that for 2 weeks steady. And the whole time he was preaching, all the people remained standing. 5 days a week, 5 to 6 hours. But it brought a revival. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you understand, friends? As long as you're still clothed in this strange garment, you can't take the rapture. This is the final phase of you shedding
mortality. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word tonight. We so appreciate you sharing your heart of your standard with us, Lord. I don't expect the world, Lord Jesus, to be impressed at all. As a matter of fact, the majority of the world would think I probably need to be locked up somewhere. And I'm out of my mind to preach such stuff. Yet, if they'd go back to some of what their old forefathers preached, the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches, the Nazarene churches, this is what they used to preach. The Holiness churches, the Apostolic churches, the Message churches. This is what many of them used to preach. Lord God, we don't want to be a used to preach people. We want to be a people that still preaches the truth. It's not pleasant. They think it's unpleasant for them. It's not pleasant for me either. But yet, Lord, it's your word. And I'm called to preach the words. You never call me to preach the pleasant parts and leave the unpleasant alone. You call me to preach the canon of the word. That means the good. That means the hard. That means the difficult. It means all of it. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Dear God, may you move on every heart. Not only those present, but Lord Jesus, those that have streamed, those that will archive. Deal with each of us. Help these parents if they've let down the bars and let their children start dressing in certain ways because they think in their heart, well, I'm not going to make my kids, I'm going to run them away from God. And how many of them has that philosophy helped? How many of their children have actually been saved by giving them this compromising notion? Has it brought them to Christ or drove them further away? Help us, I pray, Lord. We need your wisdom in raising our children. We need your wisdom, O God, in our homes. We need your wisdom in our churches. Help us, Father, we pray. May the Spirit of God, I ask, deal with every heart. Lord Jesus, may we realize, oh, many of these people tonight, they're not going to do these things. This is not in their heart. It doesn't battle them or bother them. But may they leave with a stronger conviction tonight of why we don't do it. So if they are approached, they know how to answer. May it just be even settled. Lord, I'm not guilty of these things tonight that I preached, but it done me so much good. It just reaffirmed what I already believed and knew. I love hearing your truth, Lord Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Make it so real to us. We don't want it to be secondhand or third-hand religion. Lord God, we want it to be by divine revelation. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Y'all got enough meat left on them bones to reach over and shake somebody's skeleton and say, God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and tell them. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, we ought to be happy tonight. We're some of the few free people that are left in America. Amen. Free. We're not bound by some denominational auspices and not bound by, oh my, hallelujah. We're not bound by that old deity devil neither that tries to get around this message and make Brother Branham God. Come on now. Amen. Amen. We're able to thank God for him in his position, but absolutely refuse to worship him. Thank God we still have a desire to hear the preaching of the word go forth. Thank God we have a desire to assemble ourselves together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Harry, sing them happy, buddy. Fix what I've done here in the last hour for me, would you? The master of song.
Can the church say amen?
Oh,
amen.
Everybody singing now.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen. 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 Do you believe it?
God.
Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Love you so much. Come back this weekend. You'll be having a break away from me. Brother Fred Mullins will be here with us this week, him and the church. So we're looking for a great time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's come back this weekend looking forward to a life, a wonderful, good time. Last time Brother Fred was here and Brother Fred Jr., we stood right outside the door there and somebody made a picture of me and him. Brother Fred was on this side and Fred Jr. was on this side. And somebody got the picture. I think somebody told me it was posted on Facebook maybe. And we was really, really laughing. Hardly anybody knew what brought on the laugh, but what we was actually talking about was we had made an Oreo cookie. black, and white in the middle. So bring your milk this weekend. We'll be having another set of Oreo cookies. God bless you, saints. Love you so much. Go in the fear of God. And the church said, yeah.